This podcast is intended for adults 18 years and older. It contains explicit language and sexual situations. All thoughts and opinions expressed are of our own and not of those of any specific group, employer, or individual, and is not intended to take as professional advice.
Welcome to the Foreplay Podcast. Join the journey, experiences, and sexual adventures of two high school sweethearts navigating through the swinging lifestyle as millennials. Come along for the ride. Dare to play.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the Foreplay Podcast. It's Bella.
This is Jace. Today, before we get started into the podcast, it is going to be a Q&A episode today, but we'll probably send the next few podcasts because it just started. But if you guys have not been made aware, we are now doing our podcast in video format as well. And so it's not on our normal YouTube channel, it's on a different YouTube channel. And so we will have it linked down in the show notes below. But if you guys don't want to just listen and you want to see us talk while we also listen, there you go. So now we'll have it. So I'll have it linked down below just so if you guys want to watch along. It's really been fun to kind of film them in video format. And Bella likes it because she likes to wear a different shirt every time. So why don't you start with the shirt that you're wearing for today?
Today's shirt says, I heart DILFs, which I do. True statement. I also heart MILFs. But today is a DILF day.
Nice.
It's a DILF type of day.
I love that. I am wearing a shirt today too, which is pretty fun. So
I like how you're just saying I'm wearing a shirt. Like we usually just film these, or like we usually record podcasts naked.
That's actually
We are usually clothed in pajamas.
I'm wearing a swinger themed shirt. So my shirt today is a pretty fun one because it is like a swinger themed shirt. You're right, not just a normal shirt. But for Temptation Cruise 2024. That is only around 10 days from now. We will be on the ship, which is crazy. But for our group that, you know, who booked through us. And if you guys want to come on a trip with us next year, any of the cruises, you can go to foreplay.com/playcation. And that will show you all the trips that we are going to be on this year specifically. But anyway, this is the shirt that we made. It says, let's get naughty, N-A-U-T-I, like nautical. Very clever, very punny. And it says, Foreplay Squad, Temptation Cruise 2024. And it has a nice little, you know, anchor and some ups and down pineapples. And yeah, I'm really,
it's
really
so cute.
Love it. And so that's a shirt that I'm going to be wearing during, you know, our little...
We screen printed all of them ourselves and everything. So they feel special. Each shirt was made with love.
Yeah, I'm excited that every single year, like, to, like,
I
collect...
I thought you were going to do another heart.
Oh, another heart. I'm gonna...
like, every single... year.
I'm excited that every single year, like as we go on these trips, we'll make ones and then me and you will just like collect them almost like, you know, like a race shirt. Like, you know, like whenever people go to like a running race and every year they do it, then you have a new one. I don't know if that's really relatable anymore. My parents were runners.
They still do that.
Okay. Yeah. So anyway, I just think it'll be fun to have like a collection. Like, oh my gosh, what year was that one from? And so anyway, that's a shirt we're wearing. And I think that's pretty fun.
And these shirts are on our website. So if you want to shop them, you can get that at foreplay.com/shop. And that's number 4OURPLAY.com.
But not mine. You cannot get mine.
Yeah. Well, not the one that says Temptation Cruise. Yeah, you can get ones that say Let's Get Naughty without our logo. But that one's just...
This one is specific for the cruise. So anyway. So yeah, it's a Q&A today. And so I believe we have two questions. And so if you want to grab the iPad out to read the first question.
First question is, we've been listening to your podcast for a while now and really appreciate all the advice you give. We love all the swinger and lifestyle tips, but do you have any relationship advice you would recommend to work on that really helped you to become a stronger couple? That is a fantastic question.
Yes, I love whenever we, I feel like the lifestyle and relationships, like obviously are go together, but I feel like there's so many just topics that aren't like lifestyle relationship per se, but are just relationship things that we've learned over the years that I think, but I don't know, it's kind of fun because I think they do overlap so much.
And well, of course, because it's like you're in the relationship together.
Yeah, but you know, like, I feel like there's so many things that like, because of the communication, because of things you learn that you have to navigate in the lifestyle, I feel like even if you weren't lifestyle, there's so many lessons that you learn that apply so, that could just help improve normal relationships because maybe you don't even have those conversations. Does that make sense?
Right,
what I'm trying
right,
to say?
Yeah, no, I see what you mean.
Yeah, but I have a big one, and this I think in the 16 years we've been together, I feel like might have been one of the most impactful thing that's ever helped us. And we've started this within the last, I don't know how long it's been, less than a year that we started doing this, and it's completely changed our relationship. And it is the book The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. And when I tell you this revolutionized our love that we have for each other, it did. And so I'll give like a brief just description of like what that means, the five love languages, but I would highly, highly, highly recommend, there is a website, we can link all this down below, but there's a website and you can take a little quiz and it tells you what your love languages are. There's five of them. And there's also a book. And I would highly recommend reading the book too, so you can truly understand. But basically, what it is everybody has a different way that they feel loved. And
there's also different ways that you give love. Mm-hmm. So they do go hand in hand, but I'll touch on it after you explain yours. But
yeah, so basically, though, there's just five different ways to love and to be loved, like you're saying. And the whole book is about learning how you need to be loved, and then learning what your partner needs, right? And they also said that this, we're going to talk about this more specifically in our relationship, how it helped us, but I remember reading the book, they were talking about how like you can do this with your kids because your kids need to be loved certain ways. And so every person in your life, you can love differently. And so, for example, my biggest love language is, I have like three that are almost balanced, but like quality time and physical touch are two of the ones that make me feel the most loved. And so what those two things are quality time is the act of spending quality time together. And you have to know what this means to you, right? And this is the whole good part about it, is like, to me, quality time is something like watching a movie together or sitting and talking, and like, we're not on our phones, we're not distracted by these other things. To me, that feels like quality time. Whereas someone else, maybe sitting on your phone next to each other feels like quality time to you. So it's not even just specifically quality time, but it's like what that means to you. So mine is quality time and physical touch. Physical touch is, I mean, I guess it could be sexual, but to me, even more so than that, it's the just cuddling for a few minutes or holding a hand while we're walking, or a small kiss, like things like that make me feel loved. And why don't you go into a second, except like I've been talking the whole time so far, a little bit about your love languages.
So, well, we want to talk about how I want to talk about how we did think about love languages and knew it was important, but we didn't deeply dive into what that really meant for us. So whenever, and that's why this has really helped within the past probably more like 8 months, I would say, is because we did the quiz and we were like, okay, well, my personal love language is acts of service and quality time. Those are my top two. And they're pretty equal, but more acts of service. And so whenever we hear that, or whenever we first...
explain what acts of service is.
So acts of service is, I feel loved when Jace does things for me, like in the way that I don't have to necessarily think about it. So for example, like if we know something needs to be done, like, okay, the laundry needs to be taken out or the laundry needs to be started, like he'll go ahead and already do that. So it's like things that take the mental load off of myself. And so, and I feel like it's so, as you dive deeper into what your love languages are, you see how it shapes you from like childhood.
Yeah, do you want to get into it, or is it too?
No, I mean, we can get into it.
Okay,
but,
yeah.
So
I think that's fun. Like I like to. Yeah. We've discussed it a million times together, but I think it makes so much sense. So I'd love to hear it if you want to share about
yours.
Yeah.
Hold on.
You want me to share mine first and why I feel the way I do, and then maybe you can kind of get your thoughts together and maybe it'll make it a little bit more straight line and easier for you?
Yeah. Like, it gets, like, emotional, like, whenever you, like, actually start
it does. It
about
does.
It.
I think especially Bella's, I can see why it's even more emotional than mine, but I'll get into mine just first so you have a second to kind of compose your thoughts. Maybe it'll be easier for you. So quality time. I was an only child, and what my family did was at night we would sit down and we would eat dinner together and we would watch a movie or show together. We would go on walks together. And those are the things that made me feel loved. And not that I was like super touchy with my parents, but like my mom especially was very like, she would hug me all the time and she would come in the morning and wake me up in bed, even when I was older, and like touch my leg and be like, hey, you know, it's time to wake up. And so that's why I see like why those things to me are kind of where I developed these love languages. And you also see your parents, right? And like they spent that quality time together. So you're like, oh, that's what love is to me. And that's what you see as love. And so all of these things kind of vary and develop, you know, based on most likely, in my opinion, usually who you were as a child. So do you want to get into yours a little bit?
Yeah, like, so I feel like mine is more acts of service because as a kid, I had to do so much for my family. And then Jason and I got together when we were so young. So, I mean, we were only 15 when we first started dating. And that, I feel like because I already took on that, I don't know if I would say motherly, but I do have a younger sibling and it's just me and him and I'm 6 years older than him. And so I really had to take on that, like, taking care of role. And through that, like, I feel like things weren't, like, I had to do everything on my own.
We took a brief intermission. Bella needed to grab a tissue.
I got toilet paper. I got a whole roll, so if I cry, I am ready. Acts of service is my love language because as I grew up and in our relationship, I just feel like I had to take on the, like, a caregiver type role. And so whenever I do that, like, that's my way of giving love because it's kind of all I knew, right? So, like, even growing up, like, I was expected to do this. And so whenever somebody does something for me, it feels like, wow, like, that really feels like love. And that's where we were kind of getting to, where love languages are so important to really learn and become fluent in your partner's love language. Yeah. Because what you feel as love and what you feel like you're giving as love, your partner might not take it as that. So in our entire relationship, I mean, I was doing all of these things for Jace thinking that, like, that's what's making him feel love. And in turn, like, I mean, it's not like he didn't appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Like, he appreciated it. And the same thing vice versa, right? Like, mm-hmm. Physical touch is very low on mine. And so when he would do little things, like, you know, like, go behind my back and, you know, give me a hug in that way. Things,
I was
like
that. Where are you going? Go behind your back?
Oh, no. I do. Like, that does feel loving. But,
oh, I thought you were saying, oh, like...
Are you talking about, like, fucking?
No.
Oh.
I mean, like, when you go behind someone's back, like...
Oh, no. Like, like, hand behind the waist and the back, yeah. Sneaking up and hugging. Totally completely different.
Yeah, totally different topics there.
So those are things that, like, I mean, I appreciate, but those things, because physical touch is so low on my love languages, like, I don't necessarily feel, like, super loved during that. Like, I appreciate it, but it doesn't fill my love tank. And that's a big thing in the book that it talks about, is you want to be fluent in your partner's language in a way where it makes them feel loved.
Yeah.
And so once we really... really learned each other's love languages and really took it to heart and see, and, like, having that conversation of being like, well, this is, I think, why my love language is this, and just diving really deep down into that, it, I think, is one of the biggest things that has helped our relationship.
I agree. And so I'm going to give, like, a little example of, like, how crazy the thought of it is to me. So, for example, let's say that, and once again, all of these things, you do appreciate them, right? So, yeah. Like, I'm not saying that whenever Bella does an act of service type thing that I don't have appreciation. I obviously do. I mean, she's done things for me our whole relationship. And I said that was a problem. She did too many things for me. And you know, I got complacent in certain areas. And that's
totally in a way that, like, I was enabling that. And, like, you don't realize these things until you're, like, actually really learning about a diving deep down and then having that conversation.
Yeah. So let's say, for this example, let's say Bella did the laundry, she folded the laundry and put it all away, right? To her, that would be such a loving thing to do.
Yeah.
But if Bella did that, right? And once again, I would appreciate that a trillion times over. But if Bella were to come up to me, hold my hand and give me a kiss and tell me, like, you look so good today, I love you so much, that little act would make me feel more love than her doing the laundry, right? And the laundry, in theory, takes more effort.
Yeah.
Right? In theory, it takes more effort to do the laundry, but I wouldn't feel as much love from doing the laundry as that, right? I'd feel appreciation for the laundry, but I felt more love from that hug and a kiss, right? And for you, it'd be
the opposite.
Me doing that laundry would make you feel more loved than me giving you a kiss. Once again, you would appreciate it, right? But, like, you'd feel more loved from that. And so our whole relationship, what we were doing is, like, she did so many tasks, right, that what I would try to do is, like, I would try to give you a hug. I would try to spend quality time with you. I try to tell you how beautiful you looked, how great you looked, like these things that make me feel loved. And I was trying to love you in my way. And you did all these acts of service. And once again, they make me feel loved, but they don't give you the exact gratification of love that you desire as a human. Mm-hmm. And so because we were loving each other in our own ways and our love languages didn't happen to exactly line up. Now, when we spent quality time together, since it's both high for both of us, that feels really good, right?
But even with that different. Quality time, like quality time to me feels different than quality mm-hmm. time to you. I mean, they do overlap, but to me, like as we work together and our jobs have always been the same thing, like even like whenever we were in college, if he and I were studying next to each other, or if we are doing something in the same room and we're not like completely 100% like eyes on each other and doing everything mm-hmm. together, like to me that still feels like quality time. Now it doesn't feel as good as quality time as completely putting everything away and having complete attention on each other, but to Jace that didn't feel like quality time to him at all.
Yeah, I mean it's to an extent.
Yeah,
but 15 minutes of me sitting there, no distractions, just talking to you is more valuable than 3 hours sitting next to each other having a few words here and there whenever we're working on something. And so even that, right, it's all so different and it's also relative to your relationship. And so what we figured out what we were doing is like we had this day and it was just a bad day, right? And we were talking about all this stuff and it was like, I don't feel like loved. And it was after we read this book, right? We read this book mm-hmm. and maybe that's, I don't even know what sparked it, because I remember one day Bella said something and it was like, if you could just do a few more things, it would make my life so much easier. Mm-hmm. And like in the past, we've had these discussions like this. And like I have done like times where like I take on, and I do way more than I did a long time ago, right? And this was even a year ago. But at times I would be really good at those things. And then I would kind of like fall off and I would not do those things as much, which is my fault. I think anytime your partner tells you, hey, this would be helpful if you do that, then you should do those things, right? But the truth is I was focusing on the other stuff we were doing and I was still thought I was loving you in these different ways. And once we read that book and I realized, I was like, holy shit, every time that I'm not doing a task, anything that makes these things like she's not feeling love, like every time I give her this hug, like she's not feeling the love that I feel that I'm giving.
But it's not necessarily just that. It's more like, for me, it's more the initiative. It's like taking the initiative, making that effort, knowing that like, okay, well, this should be done anyway. Like it needs to be done anyway. So I'm going to do it so she doesn't have to, because she always did mm-hmm. like it's like that. It's not necessarily just like doing a task to do the task. Like I feel love, like I know you like to make me coffee now sometimes mm-hmm. or like go get me a tea or something, and like those things, like I do feel love, like it is an act of service. But even within an act of service, some things make me feel love than other things mm-hmm. and again it just goes, I think it goes back to healing child trauma.
Yeah,
like it always goes back to that.
Also in the book it was talking about how you choose to love, right? And they were talking about like how whenever you first start dating, you have these butterfly type things, and like you have that initial thing where you do anything because you're just like so infatuated, right? And obviously I believe we're still infatuated with each other, but there's something about choosing to be together and choosing to say acts of service, right? That's not my natural mindset. Like that's not how I naturally think, but I'm choosing to put out 100% effort in everything I do to do acts of service for her anytime I get the chance. Once I've realized this, and she and I know that she does the same thing for me. Like we were watching a movie a couple nights ago and she came and just like you like nuzzled up to me. And a year ago, like it just feels different. And like I think part of that is because now when you're doing those things, like I feel like you love it even more than you ever did, because you said you were never a super physical touch person. But also I know you're doing it from a place of love that also makes me feel more loved, right? And to me, like when I wake up and I'm able to put the dishes away before you wake up, or I'm able to go and run an errand that you were gonna do and you don't have to do anymore, I feel like I'm like, oh my God, I'm loving my partner by doing this. And I get so much joy from doing acts of service. Where before that, every time that I was doing an act of service, it felt like I was like, oh, I'm doing this thing, but like I don't like why she likes to do things, right? Like that's what she does. Like she likes to do them. It's like, why can't I do this instead? And like, we never put it together. Yeah. And I don't think it was from either one of us not trying. I think we were trying our hardest to love each other. And I think that it works, right? But knowing the love languages, it makes it a trillion times easier, and it makes that love so much better and stronger. And I really feel like there has been nothing more impactful in our relationship. I mean, obviously, you know, like communication, like there's things,
yeah,
like
the basic things,
but ask something that you could do as a couple together that you haven't done that could just strengthen anybody's relationship that's never done it. Even if you had like zero issues, right? Just knowing your partner's love language, because even if you're 30 and 33% and your partner's like, you can still shift little things and do little things that make your partner feel more loved. And that's the highest recommended thing I could say.
And going off of what you were saying, it makes you want to do more because you know that's how your partner feels loved. But at the same time, that makes it easier for your partner to do those, like for me, like the example that you gave with like nuzzling up, like because my love tank feels full, it feels so easy to do that, to make your love tank feel full too. And so as you learn each other's, like at the beginning, because you're so not used to it, especially if you have like opposite love languages. Of course, if you have the same love language, it's probably easier. Yeah. Like quality time, it's pretty easy for us to find that balance there. But it feels like going to a different country. Like it actually feels like foreign at the beginning. And it's hard to learn that. But when you put in that effort and you choose, like it's the same thing with the lifestyle, right? Like to us, we feel like, God, everything, it's so
emotional. I know, I keep like I'm going to cry too.
We're getting deep here at the Foreplay podcast now. This is the new Foreplay. It's like the lifestyle and the way that we have the option to choose, right? Like, I mean, like if we're like sexually adventurous, like we're like ethically non-monogamous in a sexual way, we still choose each other. Mm-hmm. Like we still come back to each other. So it's kind of
that's
that thing.
That's the best part. Yeah.
And so with love languages, like you're choosing to put out that effort for your partner. And I think that that's such an important thing. And if I know we, this is a long segment of this, but like I can't put into words like how important like we really feel like learning that
I agree.
Benefit your relationship. That, yeah. And then I do want to talk about responsive desire real quick, because I do feel like responsive desire was also another thing that has really helped our relationship. And I mean, again, like we were talking about, it's like these are things that go deeper than the communication, honesty, trust. Those, you know, those are things that your relationship should have. But these are things that, and only we've been together for so long, and we thought that how could our relationship even get better? Mm-hmm. And to incorporate these things to make it even better, I think says a lot about what these two
like items or whatever.
Something.
Yeah.
But so responsive desire is it was more for me, I would say.
But I've learned that now I needed it.
Yeah.
A lot too. And like, I didn't realize that until we started having more of that, that I felt like I needed it. Maybe not to the extent of you, but way more than I would have thought on paper.
Yeah.
So responsive desire is the idea of the little things. And if you think this is not the correct definition, you add on to it. But from my, I think that maybe this is my understanding of it.
You just, I feel like you're able to explain things so much better than I can. So I feel like definition wise, it's always better for you to take this on.
So it's the little things throughout your day that make you feel loved, that make you feel wanted, that make you feel that security and stuff that you need. And so, you know, like this is the example of like where it came from. I feel like so much of the time, right? Like for Bella and me, for example, sometimes like, let's say I would be really feel sexual, right? I'm like, oh, I really want to have sex with you. But throughout the day we were working, we weren't doing anything like really together and all this stuff. And then at night it'd be like, oh, I'm just gonna start making out with you the bed. And then I would love to have sex, right? But for someone who needs responsive desire, it take, and we've heard this conversation about women generally more than men, where women need to, lots of women, not every woman, right? This is all subjective, but need to feel more in the mood. And it's not always just that physical touch per se, but it's feeling like you're in the headspace to have sex, right? And so if it's just making that night, it's always kissing the bed, like it doesn't feel like something special per se. And so it just feels like, oh, it's sex, right? Like that's
sex
what they,
time.
That's what they want, right? But it's the throughout your life. It's throughout the busy days of that subtle touch. It's that making out for 10 seconds with it not turning into sex. It's not even trying to be sex. It's yeah. it's the little feeling you up for 10 seconds where it's not turning into sex. It's not like everything that starts to be that sexual thing turns into sex. And I think that whenever you stay in that mindset, per se, whenever you guys both want to have sex, it's much easier to feel like you both are really wanting to at that time. And this is also was a thing that's made, what's made it easier is you're a person who needs a response to desire that didn't love physical touch.
I was just about to say that.
But
yeah,
now that you love physical touch to a different extent, it's much easier to for all of this to work so much smoother because now your love tank feels full and you want to be touched more. And so those little things throughout the time, like throughout the week that we'll do, and just it's the constant little things of me holding your hand for a couple of seconds, or like it's just little things, right? Like making out for 10 seconds that there's no, it's not trying to be like, let's fuck right now. Like it's not trying to be that. I think that to me is the very long definition of like what responsive desire is.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good way of explaining it. I think that taking off the pressures, like doing those little things of responsive desire where it's like coming behind me and kissing my neck, and but knowing that it's not going to evolve's not the word, but go into sex, because I'm during
every
the
time.
Week, yeah, every time. This podcast is brought to you by us, Bella and Jace. If you're going on a vacation, or maybe you have a gift that you want to give your other lifestyle friends, and you're looking for lifestyle clothing, we have the best apparel on the market for you. We have not only clothing, bikinis, swimsuits, we have backpacks, tumblers, cups, anything that you can name, we probably have it. You can find that at foreplay.com/shop.
Let's say you're at a party, you're going on vacation, you know, things are moving a little bit slow. Maybe you want some conversation to flow. Maybe you want to move stuff towards play. Well, we have the perfect game for you. It's called Foreplay the Game. It is a digital and physical lifestyle icebreaker game, and you can find out all about it at foreplay.com/games. That's number 4OURPLAY.com/games.
If you don't have a lifestyle vacation planned, a resort or a cruise planned, why not? You can join us. You can find that at foreplay.com/playcation. We have not only information about the events and trips that we'll be on this year, but also other options for you as well. And it doesn't cost any extra for you to book through our links, but helps us a lot, helps us continue to be able to make this type of content for you. Now back to the show. During the week when we're working and stuff, or if I'm like in the middle of making lunch, I'm not in the mindset for sex. And so whenever we put, I guess I would say it's a boundary in place, like knowing that like, hey, whenever we're doing these things, or when we're busy doing these tasks, or, you know, certain days of the week where we're busier, like we know sex, we're probably not going to have sex. Not that we're not going to, because it could, especially yeah. whenever you really fall into that responsive desire and you get mm-hmm. more comfortable with it. Like sometimes it will turn into sex mm-hmm. and you're not like expecting it, mm-hmm. but taking the pressure off and being like, well, it's probably not going to. But we're still able to connect physically and sexually, but in mm-hmm. a way where it doesn't have to be sex. Yeah. I think that has really helped our relationship too.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's those, to me, too, what I've like realized is like, I always thought that like us having sex is what would make us feel the most like sexually connected. Mm-hmm. Right. And like what I've learned for me, and we've talked about this, and so from my understanding, you as well, is that let's say you have one of those really busy weeks and like everything is just going on so much and you don't have sex that week, right? Because you're just so busy all the time. When we would have weeks like that in the past, I would feel so like sexually disconnected from you. But now if a week like that happens, but every single day we're kissing here and there and I'm holding your hand and we're touching like this, I still feel sexually connected. Mm-hmm. That are laying together at night and just holding each other, maybe touching each other's body a little bit with nothing turning into sex, I still feel sexually connected. And that's what I think the part to me that's made me feel so important about the responsive desire is my feeling of like continuing to feel connected even if we're not having sex that day, right? Like I still feel sexually connected. And that's like the beauty of it for what the response to desire is on my half.
I think that's even like a subject for a different podcast. I mm-hmm. think we can really go into that and how sex for us, even as swingers, right? I feel like we're not as sexual as
some people,
most swingers. Like most people would think swingers are.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I do want to dive into that at a different time. But for us, and I would hope that us sharing this could help some couples who mm-hmm. might feel the same way. Because I felt weird, not weird, but I felt like, should we want sex more all the time? Like, we're swingers. Like, we are sexually open. Like, why do we not have sex every day? Should we be having sex every day?
Mm-hmm.
And to now going into that responsive desire, love languages, and knowing that, like, us feeling sexually connected doesn't mean sex. Like, it's not always sex. Like,
we need sex sometimes, yeah, obviously. Yeah, yeah. But it doesn't have to be 100% of the time that's what makes us feel that way.
Exactly. And we feel like more sexually connected in ways that aren't sex. Like, yes, we do need sex, but throughout the week, if I didn't have sex, like if we only had sex one time a week, but we did all those things that you were saying, like having that quality time together, like that more sexual quality time that's not sex, I feel more sexually connected than if we were to have sex every day.
Mm-hmm. No, and I agree. And like, so sometimes you'll have sex multiple times in a week, and that's great. And some weeks we have less sex, right? And we do more. I mean, but I feel like the key is if we had sex five times in a week, right? Or we had sex one time in a week, the important thing to me is still those little things throughout the time that make me feel the sexually connected. Because even if we had sex five times a week now, right, I still wouldn't feel the same amount of sexual connection as when I'm able to just touch you and hold your hand and make out with you and do those little things that don't turn into sex every time. I would still need those in addition to the sex five times a week to still feel that same amount of sexual connection.
Exactly.
And like, that's what we're trying to, I think, get at by it. It's not just like, it's just so much deeper to us. And we're not saying that like, that's what everybody needs, right? This is like love language. This is like response to desire. I know that there is so many couples that purely like having sex is what makes them feel intimate. And that is amazing if that is what it is for you. But if you're a swinger and still like having actual sex isn't what you need every single day, that's okay. It's not weird. Like it's whatever works for your relationship, and it's whatever makes you feel best as a couple. And so that's what we've learned through all of this, is like, it's all letting go of all societal norms of like what they say is right. It's all about letting go of like what you thought you were taught as a kid, or what this is how you have to be loved, this is how you have to love. It's forgetting all of those things and learning what you and your partner need as a couple, and then from that point moving forward in whichever way you need.
Because I thought that something was wrong with us for not having sex every day, you know, like being in this space and just hearing about other people. Like, I thought that we needed to fix something, and we did need to fix something, but it wasn't the not having sex every day.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's all of the things that make it to where you need to find what's best for you and your partner, like what Jay said, and it's okay that it's not what you think it is. And most of the time it's probably not what you think it is.
Yeah.
But it's learning all of these different techniques and things, and really getting to know each other even more than you even think, that has made the biggest impact.
Yeah, and I think like something that's like I've learned that feels so beautiful and wonderful to me is like another example of, right, like it could be little things, but like we a few days ago, we were both like, it had been like just such a long week of working, because we'll work so long and so hard to do so many things. And then it was nighttime and we both felt like sexy, but we were tired, right? Like we didn't feel like the actual movement of sex, but we wanted to feel connected, and we masturbated together. And to me, now having all these things be so different, I felt just as sexually connected mm-hmm. masturbating with you. As, I mean, yes, we touched each other like while we were doing it, but like I felt just as sexually connected as when we fuck. And like, they both feel like an equal thing in a different way to me. And I love that, because I think we also sometimes can get to the same routine of like, what is sex, right? Sex is penetration. Sex is this, but it's not. It's so much more. Sex could be me using a vibrator on you until you come, and then that's it. I never get touched. It could be just being naked together for 30 minutes, making out. Like, to me, anything like that could be... I don't know. I don't know if that makes sense. And I said, this is not right for everybody. It's what's right for us. And...
just know that it's, you're not...
you're normal.
Yeah. It's not wrong. It's not wrong to feel these different ways. And your relationship isn't in shambles because you guys don't fuck every day. Mm-hmm. Or that you don't feel like you need to fuck every day. Because that's what we thought. We thought mm-hmm. that there was like... something was wrong. Like, why are we in... why are we in the sexual space and we don't even have sex every day? Like, is there something that we need to change?
Yeah.
And...
no.
It's... yeah. Well, I mean, we had to change things.
But not within different. That. Not yeah, within yeah. that. Yeah. I don't know. Then that, yeah. I don't know. That it's just a really fun thing. So these are the conversations we have, and I love... these are my favorite days of all of, like, the work stuff that we do is just sitting here and just talking and just... I don't know. That was really fun. I love you very much. And
I love you too.
I hope that helps somebody out yeah. there who's having these conversations or having these thoughts. And please do the love languages. I said, even if you guys feel like your relationship is as strong as it can be, even if you don't want to read the book, even if you read an abbreviated thing.
No, I think you need to read the book, actually.
I think it's the best.
Because our mistake that we did was we took the test and we were like, okay, well, we know each other's love languages. And we didn't learn it. Like, yeah. I really think you need to... read it, mm-hmm. the book, so you know how to, like, know concrete examples of how to express that and how to show the proof of, okay, like, I'm going to try to love you in this way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, another, like, tip, I used ChatGPT.
So did I.
Yeah, to find even other specific ways to be able to show love in the way that Jace needed to feel yeah. love.
So, and then give, like, 50 examples of how to love someone who had quality time as their love language.
And even deeper than that, in the prompt, like, give examples of things that they do. You know, so it makes it more specific to mm-hmm. your partner. I mean, I love AI is crazy yeah. amazing, and that's helped a lot yeah. with that.
So, but, read the book, yeah. do it together. Together, that's the most important mm-hmm. thing. And like I said, if I had kids, like, we don't want kids, but if I did, I would do this with my kids. I would do this.
And there's different books, though. So it's not the same. Yeah. The love languages, there's like one for friends, there's one for kids, and there's one for your relationship. So don't use the relationship one for your kids and your friends. Like,
that's
it is
something
different.
Else.
And coworkers, there's one for that too. So we're gonna go ahead and just stop the podcast here and go into our weekly obsessions. We usually do two questions, but I feel like it's, well, we both feel like it was pretty long uh-huh. for this one question. And we also went yeah. into the responsive desire and everything. But
which is great though. I like this though. I like this format that we're doing where it's much more just normally we'd have like, okay, we're going to try to do two questions, which was still in theory like what we were going to do for this podcast. But I like that this discussion turned out much longer than I ever anticipated it mm-hmm. turning out into. And so I do think though, I don't want it to be like
it's
a
like
2 hour
flexible.
Podcast, right? Yeah. So yeah, I think it's more flexible. And yeah, that was just, I don't know. I love that you brought in the responsive desire because I don't think those things go so hand in hand. And I feel like that's its own entity that actually really needs to be discussed with this, because and responsive desire looks different for everybody as well, right? And so
I don't even know if we really like explained what can we look up what responsive desire is,
yeah,
just to give the true like meaning of yeah. it, because I think we explained how responsive desire helps us, but we didn't really say what it was.
All right, so I'm going to read it. People with responsive desire need more affection and sensual touch leading up to engaging in sexual activity to help put their mind and body at ease to feel desire.
Yes.
This could include long hugs, cuddling on the couch, rubbing their back, or taking a shower together. So, yeah, it's those little things that make you feel in the mood.
In the mindset.
In the mindset of that sexuality. And I know whenever we read a lot about this, there's also a lot goes into it with yourself, right? And so I guess I'm going to go a little bit more into it, but a lot of it goes into it with yourself. So it's not just, oh, your partner touching you. It's also doing the things that make you feel sexy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if sometimes masturbating alone helps you get into this mindset of feeling sexy, or maybe, you know, whenever you, like, I know for me, every time that I shave, right? Or like I clean myself up sexually, right? Like I feel more sexy because I feel like I look better. Yeah. And it's like those little things, like even going to the gym for me makes me feel, because I look at myself at the gym and I feel like, oh, I have that pump or whatever, right? Like that, but I look at myself and it makes me feel more handsome. And when I feel that way, I feel more in a better mindset. And so I think that so much of it even goes into not just what it is for me and you doing stuff as a couple, but like what we also do for ourselves to make ourselves feel that in a good mindset to whenever we want to have sex, to feel sexy. And so that, I don't know. I just think it's a really, really cool subject that I feel like I've never really heard people talk that much about.
I think we just haven't like looked into it. Like, because yeah, we didn't That's the thing. Like, if we don't realize, then how do we look up that information? I just didn't even know that was an option.
I know, but it's surprising to me that, like the five love languages, with how important of a thing that it has been for our relationship and how impactful it has been, those things, I'm just like so surprised that I feel like it's not, you always hear people talk about communication. You always hear people talk about this, this, and this, right? I wish that response to desire and the five love languages were spoken about just as much as all of those things, so that people are aware of it, right? That everyone knows to communicate.
I think they are. Like, it's out there. We just didn't know. Like, we knew about the love language, but what did we do? We didn't actually learn it.
Yeah, there they are.
Yeah, like the information is there. We just didn't take that effort into truly learning it because we didn't think we needed to. Yeah. And I think that was the issue, was like, well, our relationship is amazing already. Like, we already have communication, trust, no jealousy. We have all of these things. And so we didn't think it could get better. But then whenever you take that effort and you learn it, then you were like, wow, we really could have been, like, imagine if we would have done this years ago.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been beginning of a relationship even. Yeah. Like, it would be completely different.
You would just feel more love the whole time. But, like, the one thing it also has made me realize is that no matter how amazing you think your relationship is, like, I always thought it could, like, I feel like everyone was like, oh, it could be better, but, like, is it really going to, like, now I hope that there's something else, like the five love languages, that will also revolutionize our love and make us, like, even though I feel like this is the best we've ever been, ever, I still hope that there's something else out there that will, I'll find one day, that will help us, or you'll find, right, that will help us take our love to the next level. And now I'm 100% positive there is things out there, because there's always things that, just like you can better yourself, there's always things that can better your relationship, always. And if I learn about something now, I'm like, well, I want to put out that effort, right? Like, I don't care how amazing it is. Like, I don't know why we didn't.
Well, the thing is, we thought we were. Like, we thought, we looked it up, we were like, okay, well, this is what we're going to do. But then we just didn't do it enough. That was the thing. So, like, the information is there, but if you don't really try, it's not going to change anything. And so just, if you're going to take something from this, put more effort into your relationship, even if you already think that it's, like, the best that it can be. Because why wouldn't you want it to be better? Like, I always want everything to be, like, a little better. Yeah. Like,
and sometimes it turns out to be huge things.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's huge to be, like I said, one of the most revolutionary things in our relationship.
Yeah. And even self-help wise, right? Like, I think we're the type of people who always want to improve. Mm-hmm. And so I think that there's a stigma in not needing to improve your relationship, because then it's, if you really love your partner, then, like, why would you need to keep improving, like, your relationship? But no.
Because you love them.
Exactly. So anyways, let's go ahead and hop into Bella and Jace's weekly obsession. So I like how you went slow with it.
Thank you.
Were you following my lead?
That was the response
to
desire one. I was just taking it slow.
And I see.
No, actually, I was just following you. Okay, so let's do the weekly obsessions. I pulled up my phone now because I wrote them down so I did not forget. Do you want to go for yours first, or you want to go for mine first?
Yeah, I'll go first.
Okay, go for it. These are yours.
So, he also has to write down mine, because, acts of service. Because I also forget my weekly obsession. So, right now is this true crime, I don't even know if she has a podcast, but I've been watching her on YouTube, and I love true crime. Her name is Kimberlea, and she is amazing. She really goes into the background and the stories of the victims, and I feel like she puts a lot of emphasis on remembering who they are, and instead of putting more of the emphasis on the traitor or a murderer, okay. or the bad person. And so that's been a really, really cool one. And she puts in a lot of pictures, and she does a lot of research on it that I would think is really cool. I feel like she's a different type of true crime content creator that I've consumed before compared to other people. I love her, and I love Rotten Mango a lot too, but I really do like Kimberly. So she's been one of my obsessions. Okay. Do we usually go back and forth, or do
no,
we? You. Okay. My other one.
It's okay. We're 85 podcasts in. And just...
No, we took a long break, so I couldn't remember.
We filmed 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
I know, but like, it's I need okay. to.
I have to give you a hard time. What's your second one?
My second one is Mr. and Mrs. Smith, the show on Amazon Prime. Came out recently, and I really, really, really love it. And it's the one with Donald Glover, and I really should remember her now. The reason why I started watching it, though, was I love Childish Gambino, and so anything that he's in, I will immediately watch. So he is the reason why I started watching it. But, I mean, I don't know if it's just because we can relate to it so much. Like, we really felt a connection to the two characters. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely, the first episode is a slow burn, but I was immediately hooked after that.
I agree.
And it was, I don't want to give too much away, but it's don't compare it to the original movie,
yeah,
because it's definitely different. Go into it with an open mind.
Yes.
And there's action, but there's more to it, I think, is the character development. And loved it. So
yeah, also I will say that when you watch this, you realize these two people are pretty fucked up. We do not see ourselves completely in them.
No.
There is just ways, there's just like little things that do remind us of ourselves in certain things, but
we're all fucked up. Everybody's
but
fucked
I mean
up,
but I mean so. When you watch that, I don't want you to think that we are a mirror of them, because
no, we just said
just to be clear. Okay, so my two weekly obsessions. My two weekly obsessions.
Ooh, obsessions.
That's pretty good. That was an accident.
I like
what
that.
A faux pas.
A faux pas?
No, it's called faux pas.
I think it's a faux pas.
Oh, shit.
I think a faux pas. A faux pas is the
fat upper pussy area.
Yeah.
Oh.
A faux pas.
Oops.
You got it, a faux pas.
Okay. So anyway, my two big obsessions are, one is Sex Lives of College Girls. We watched it because Bella's been obsessed with Renee Rapp.
Can that be my... I have a third weekly obsession. It's Renee Rapp. Okay.
Bella's been like feral for Renee Rapp for the last like 3 weeks to a month. And so we end up watching that show because of Renee Rapp is in it. And it's just this show about it follows the lives of these four girls in college. And it's their sex lives. And it's just like an actually like really beautiful show. Like it's funny. It's good, but like it plays into a lot of the societal issues, and I just really, really enjoyed that show. I think the third season actually comes out pretty soon, so it's supposed to anyway. So I'm excited about that, but I loved that. And then my other weekly obsession is
that's on HBO.
HBO, yeah.
In case anybody wants to watch.
Yeah. My other obsession is Guts by Olivia Rodrigo. The album came out a while ago, and we listened to it quite a bit when it first came out. And I've been listening to other stuff. And then recently, I've been listening to it again. And I think it might be better than Sour. I don't know if it is. It's really close. Which is just crazy that her albums would even be close together. Because Sour is one of the best albums of all time. But I really, really love Guts.
What's your favorite song on Guts?
Honestly, I think it's the most basic answer. But I think Bad Idea, Right is my favorite song on Guts.
I thought you liked All American Bitch the most.
I really like that one, but I really
like
that. Did
you change recently?
I don't know. I go back and forth. But anyway, those are probably my favorite too. But that's my weekly obsession. So I've been listening to that a lot. And yeah. So that's really, I guess, that winds up. That wraps up this podcast then. But yeah, I said I really hope that it helps somebody out there. I hope help multiple people out there, like these things helped us so much. But thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure to, if you're on YouTube, make sure to like, subscribe, follow this new YouTube channel. But yeah, we'll hit you guys the outro and we'll talk to you in the next one. Bye!
If you'd like to support the show, you can leave us a 5-star review wherever you're listening to our podcast. All our information will be listed in the show notes below and on our website, 4play.com. That's 4, 4play.com. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel where we make videos and vlogs about the swinging lifestyle. Head to foreplay.com/YouTube to watch and subscribe. We have the ultimate adult party game for the sexually inclined called Foreplay the Game that's both digital and physical. It's perfect for breaking the ice and spicing up any party. You can find more information at foreplay.com/games. We also have the best swinger lifestyle, kinky, and adult humor clothing and accessories that you can find at foreplay.com/shop. If you're looking to plan a lifestyle destination, booking through our links at foreplay.com/travel really helps support the show and helps us be able to continue to create this type of content for you. We're on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Twitch, and more. You can find all our current social media accounts at foreplay.com/socials, and I have an OnlyFans which you can find at onlyfans.com/BellaLunaVIP. We also have a Facebook group and Discord community and would love for you to join us. You can find the direct links in the show notes below. Lastly, we're on SDC and Cassidy at Foreplay, and you can get a free full membership trial by using our link. You can email us at hello@foreplay.com with any questions or comments, or head to foreplay.com/ask. Again, all our information will be listed in the show notes below, and we thank you so much for listening to our podcast. See you in the next one. Bye!